This is North Shore Today. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. In today's program, Rick talks with Gloucester Police Chief Lenny Campanello.
It's going very well from that standpoint. We have a cadre of angels, about 45 or 50 angels that volunteer still for us.
I have a conversation with the baseball coaching legend and the winningest high school baseball coach in New England, Frank Carey, the former head coach at North Reading High School.
I think from my perspective, my biggest enjoyment has been some of the initiatives that I took on behalf of the state in baseball.
Campanello and Carey today on North Shore Today. Well, it's Thursday, and Rick, as we start this day, it's a wonderful day out there on Thursday, but comes news of an accident up on Route 95 in Newburyport where a driver ends up hitting a state police cruiser. But the good news is the state trooper was not in the car, not hurt. I don't know about any other injuries, but at least for the state trooper. And, you know, this seems to happen an awful lot on that stretch of road, and it just seems so dangerous. So we think of the state troopers, and you do think of them when they're, you know, at night or on the side of the road or whatever, but you never know at night. And I think this was like a 2 a.m. kind of thing. So you can only imagine what was influencing, so to speak, that accident.
Well, so many distractions, too. You know, I remember, Bill, my dad was in the Army, so he traveled everywhere. And I remember back, I'm not even going to say what decade, but a long time ago, and we used to drive from place to place, and you could actually look into the countryside while you were driving. You could look to your left, you could look to your right, you know, and you'd be driving along at 45 miles an hour on a, quote, highway, unquote. You can't do that anymore. I mean, you know, it's just so many things out there that even like you say, in the middle of the night, there's so many distractions. So yeah, hopefully nobody heard in that stuff. That's a good. And speaking of police, I just noticed that there are drug turn-in programs everywhere this weekend in a lot of North Shore communities. And I guess if you're trying to get rid of prescription drugs that are outdated and things like that, you can go to your local police station in most cases, and they will discard them for you. You're not supposed to, obviously, throw prescription drugs into the rubbish or flush them down the toilet. You need to turn them in safely. So I guess a lot of the communities have those discarding programs this weekend.
You know, I do not have any drugs to get rid of, but I have a lot of clutter to get rid of. That's what I need, an open weekend where I can get rid of some clutter, more clutter around here than the drug. Give me a quick preview on the conversation with the police chief from Gloucester coming up.
Chief Campanello talks about, again, the Angel program and how they've treated so many people, and I forget the numbers. He's got the numbers in the interview. No one has been turned away. No one has been arrested. Many people are in recovery now without being arrested. And he's very sincere and very compassionate about that program and about how his staff is working so diligently, how the police officers in Gloucester are working so hard to try to make this thing be a success. So it's a very interesting interview. I think he's under some stress with this thing because it's a balancing act and it's brand new and it's getting a lot of attention on a positive note. So I think you'll find the interview very, very interesting.
All right, so that'll be coming up in just a couple of moments here on the program. Rick, anything else? I got one story, but it's not the local news story. I think you have one, and then I'll touch on one thing of our swinging culture in this country that we have going on here. I got one more example to share with you.
Well, okay. Just a quick thing from the Gloucester Times. People may be sick of hearing about the Fuller School. I know, editorially speaking, I think it's a complete disaster. I think the previous mayoral administration really did a bad choice in not maintaining that school. It was a beautiful school. Anyway, now it's up for bid. It's the property is up for sale. Developers must pay at least $1 and submit proposals by November 24. And the city of Gloucester on Wednesday issued its official request for proposals for developing the 10.6-acre site of the former Fuller School, giving developers 60 days to respond with bids and the $25,000 deposit, which is required for each proposal. So I don't understand how that dollar thing works. But finally, the RFP, which went out 2 weeks after the city council approved the sale of the site, specifies a preference for a mixed-use development that may include a mix of commercial, industrial, residential, and or community service uses. So once again, stay tuned on that. And then the other thing, Bill, I think that certainly people are talking about that I ran into yesterday. A lot of people talked about Yogi. Great memories, fond smile on the faces of when reflecting on Yogi Berra's career and his philosophies. But also the visit of Pope Francis, interestingly enough, it's drawing a lot of controversy in this country. I'm noticing that the conservatives, the right, extreme right, and again, I'm neither Democrat nor Republican. I want to make that known. So the extreme right are telling Francis to shut up about climate control. And I just find that kind of humorous that they're getting all over the Pope for mentioning that we ought to take care of the planet we live on.
Right. Well, I think they feel that they're ignoring the right to life issues that they support at the expense of climate change. So I don't know. I think that if I were the Pope coming to the United States, if they were thinking over there at the Vatican of how to make a little splash and how to draw more people into the church, this might be how I would do it too, you know, focus on those issues. I look at it like yourself, not necessarily a Republican or a Democrat, but why don't you do both? Why aren't we banking or insuring on our climate the best that we can, knowing that the rest of the world does not share our values on clean air and clean water? Not all of the world, and yet we still need to do what we need to do, and the other issues sort themselves out as well. There's differences on these different issues, so whatever.
Yeah, as you say, Bill, I think there's room for everybody.
I do. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I respect both. This is how crazy I am. I actually respect both sides of that issue very, very significantly because on the other hand, you know, it's tough to come to a meeting when you have to, when such as the right to life issue. And I can't believe we're talking about that today on this program, but that's where we got to here. But I mean,
I think the thing is, you know, you mentioned what's on people's minds, and I just know that, you know, when you're out in the things that people are kind of talking about with interest, and it's, you know, the Pope doesn't come to the country every day, so it is kind of interesting. Sort of like when you watch, you know, a royal wedding. I mean, who can identify with that?
You can't, Rick. I thought you could identify with the royal wedding. No. All right.
Yeah. Up on my white steed. Okay.
All right. We're just a few moments away from the chief, but I just wanted to share one more thing. We've talked about how the culture has changed. One of my favorite groups of characters over the years have been, Rick, I've got to share this with you, the Muppets. Now, the Muppets started a new television show on ABC on Tuesday night, and so this is a different kind of Muppet show. So I wasn't sure what it was going to be. I really didn't read any of the advanced stuff, but it's kind of a mockumentary. So it's kind of like the Office version of the Muppets or 30 Rock or one of those shows where they do the cutaway interviews with the Muppets and so on. So it took me a while to catch up to that. But now there are critics. We talk about the critics of the Pope, which kind of ties in with the critics of the new Muppet show, saying it's too much adult humor and so on. And I get that point too, but it is a different show. I mean, I didn't think it was fantastic, but I liked the Muppets, so I thought it was pretty good. Kermit has a new girlfriend, by the way.
Did Kermit actually say, "My life is a bacon wrapped nightmare"? Did he actually say that?
I think
that?
He did.
It's the Muppets with an edge.
No, definitely with an edge. I don't think that it ruins it for kids necessarily because they're watching all this stuff anyway. I mean, you know, so whatever.
But Bill, there was a documentary on PBS the other night on Jim Henson, and people forget, especially the younger generation parents, that the Muppets started out as adult humor. They talked about nuclear explosions. I mean, they touched on everything. They were not for kids when they first started. And let's remember, most of them started off as monsters. So, you know, the Muppets may be returning to their roots in this case.
Well, I didn't see a lot of there were a few monsters there. But, anyways, it was kind of the Muppets. Miss Piggy has a late night TV show. Up Late with Piggy, I think it is, something like that.
Of course she does.
So she's the star of the show with her attitude and all of her complex personality issues. And so what's interesting is they've created this, you know, this personality for a pig, you know, and we know it, you know, and we all know what her personality is and her traits and so on. So anyway, it's I thought it was okay. I mean, I'll go back and watch it again, I'm sure, next Tuesday or whatever I DVR it. But because, again, it's the Muppets for me. So I like the Muppets, you know. And to me, it's like when I was a kid, I loved Bullwinkle. You know, not everybody did. And I still like Bullwinkle. You know what I mean? Not everybody sits and watches and laughs at Bullwinkle because it's an it's adult humor. It's got that little edge to it, kind of whatever the comedic track they use in Bullwinkle. It's not for everybody, but I loved it. So, all right, I think I'm done here, Rick. I think we've got two interviews coming up here that we need to share with the folks. And Chief Campanello talking with Rick Moore. And then right after that, we're going to hear from Frank Carey. No one has won more high school baseball games in New England in their career than Frank Carey, from Lynn and the longtime 47-year baseball coach at North Reading High School. So Frank Carey will be up just a little bit later. And then Rick and I will be back. We'll touch base with you all on some of the sports coming up this weekend here on MSONewsSports.com. Rick?
Back at the office of Gloucester Police Chief Leonard Campanello, and Chief, the Angel program, the Angel Initiative program, continuing in Gloucester. I believe it started in early summer, just before summer, late spring. And maybe a little update as to how the program is going.
Yes, we started on June 1st, so we're about, a little under 4 months into the program. We have 195 people placed into treatment, no criminal charges, no coercion, no judgment. It's going very well from that standpoint. We have a cadre of angels, about 45 or 50 angels that volunteer still for us. The police department's excited to be able to help that many people in the community who suffer from this disease. The price of Narcan has dropped. We see a reasonable and consistent price now with the Attorney General's recent settlement with one of the pharmaceuticals for $325,000, which will be placed into a public safety account to bulk purchase Narcan for public safety across the Commonwealth. We've seen legislation being presented both at a federal and state level that deals with addiction recovery, and we ourselves were earmarked in the 2016 state budget for funding for not only this program but to help develop it in a couple of other cities and towns in Massachusetts. Also, since it started, we've partnered with 20 facilities within Massachusetts that deal with short-term and long-term treatment, and over 50 facilities in about 17 different states. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we have now, I think, 22 police department partners in 9 states, and more and more contacting us every day. It's just been a really great success in those terms.
I've been getting press releases from PARI almost daily on new groups and organizations that are partnering with the Gloucester Police Department. What does that mean, Chief, with respect to healthcare firms that are partnering, and then maybe is there a difference with the police departments that are partnering? What does that mean, the partnering aspect?
I think it means a shift in mentality. We fought this so-called drug war for a long time, and I did it for 7 years. In a plainclothes narcotics capacity. Proud of that work. It needs to continue on a supply side. We need to arrest the people that would simply make money off the misery of others, the drug dealers. But we need to treat what is an illness as an illness. Once it gets to a certain point, addiction is just that. It's a disease. It needs to be treated like one. And the fact that it's being taken on by so many, that the tiny city of Gloucester and its police department has reached so many people, it is really a national conversation. And so we feel very responsible for that message, and we want to make sure it doesn't get diluted or corrupted in any way. And it simply exists to help other people.
I don't know what the statistics are, but I personally don't know anybody who hasn't been affected by someone. Either you know someone very close to you or a family member who's been affected by addiction. So it seems to be endemic. It seems to be everywhere. And the idea of changing the conversation seems to be really optimistic from a family point of view. So are you getting what feedback have you been getting from the community, from people who have gone into the program and maybe from their families? Has there been any feedback?
Yeah, there's been great feedback. First, I want to address the fact that, you know, my role is the chief of police in Gloucester. The city's business is my role and will continue to be my role. I don't have any other aspirations. I love this city. I love working for the city. As long as the mayor and the citizens of the city want me to serve in this capacity, I'll be here. And the main focus of the police department is always the quality of life for citizens of Gloucester. To speak to your point, the feedback we've gotten is just what you say. I don't know the statistics either, but everyone we talk to has said, you know, look, I have a cousin, I have a nephew, I have a sister-in-law. This one was a star athlete. This one was, a scholar studying to be a doctor. This one, it's across the board, socioeconomically, ethnically, racially. It has no boundaries. It affects everybody. It is not a choice. When you get to a certain point, it's not a choice. It becomes a disease, much in the same pathology as picking up a cigarette for the first time that eventually leads to lung cancer. And so I think the response has been an acknowledgement that we need to change things and that law enforcement can lend its voice to that.
My final question, Chief, with respect to this is, you know, the Gloucester Facebook page, the police department's Facebook page, had a plead or a query, I guess, for people to ask pharmaceuticals how they could help out pharmaceutical big companies, and of course that was it made some headlines. So what's the result of that, Chief? Where does that lie, and how are pharmaceuticals tied into this? Pharmaceutical companies, I should say.
Well, so you know, the Facebook post was, you know, it was misconstrued by a very, very small minority. The first thing we did as police officers is we apologized. We were late to the game with this. We should have realized earlier that incarcerating people for this addiction and this disease is not the way out. And we were met by not shame on you, but met by thanks. Thank you for realizing it. You know, thanks. We're happy you're on board now. And I think that's the role that a lot of us need to play. Medical doctors, pharmaceuticals, all of us need to be at the same, insurance companies, at the same table talking about the same thing. This is not an unfixable problem. So I guess the purpose of the post was to encourage the dialogue. And encourage that everybody has a part in this, from the people that manufacture pills that in some circumstances lead to this addiction, to the people that provide health care, to law enforcement that's been doing things a different way, to the entire community mm-hmm. that wants to see a disease be treated instead of wasting taxpayers' money on incarcerating people.
And from that perspective, I would think that families can be encouraged to do more, too. I think there's probably things that we all could learn about this whole deal and help on it. Chief, changing the subject, a good summer for the city of Gloucester. You survived Fiesta. I guess it was pretty successful and got through the whole summer okay?
We were very, very pleased with Fiesta. The second year in a row, we had extremely low incidents, extremely low arrests. We think we found a formula, hopefully, for future years. A balance between everybody having an incredible amount of fun and enjoying the spirit of the Fiesta. The city and its administration did a fantastic job of overseeing everything that went on and allowed us as a police department to do our job in a muted capacity, which I think is the formula. You know, be there, but don't be overly involved unless we have to. Mm-hmm. Sort of a roadhouse mentality. Be nice until it's time not to be nice.
There you go.
And then still be nice. So a great Fiesta that kicked off a what we think was a fantastic summer. We have a lot of work to do with traffic if we're going to continue. It's a double-edged sword. You know, we want the people coming into Gloucester to see the beautifulness of the city and to enjoy the businesses and to spend a bunch of money in here, so that our tax rates can stay low, so that we can encourage small businesses to stay in Gloucester. But we also want to make sure that Gloucester residents can get to their house in a you know in a short amount of time.
Or to the grocery store.
Or to the grocery store. So yeah. So you know we're working on those issues, mm-hmm. but it's great to see so many people coming to the city to enjoy what all of us know is probably one of the most beautiful, culturally rich, mm-hmm. and fun places to be in the summer.
Absolutely. Well, finally, Chief Campanello, the beard thing. You got to tell me about the beard thing.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So we believe we created the growing hair because we care for Special Olympics in Gloucester. We're not sure. We're gonna find that out. But you know, we as officers, you know, one of the things that's like a small complaint over the years is that you never get to grow your beard again. And it's a professional thing. It's a you know, it's what the public expects, and we're happy to provide that little bit of professionalism that goes along with our job. But I think I think the public will be accepting, especially for a charitable event as they were last year, to allow us to grow our beards very neatly for about 3 months, and give the money that we have to pay as a fee, which is $100 per officer, over that 3 months to grow that.
Tremendous.
And we shave them. We usually shave them February 1st, but because of last year, we shave them right after the hour after the Super Bowl.
Is that right? Okay.
Because we want to make sure we don't cast any bad luck for the Pats.
And no more jumping off of buildings.
I'm not going to be doing it anymore. I think I hit the weight limit on that. So, but we will be doing another tip of cop, hopefully. And then we'll continue our work with Special Olympics, which is such a great cause, and anybody who comes out to one of those events immediately falls in love with it, and we did too. And so we continue to be socially active. We continue to be the law enforcement entity in the town that tries to improve the quality of life. We encourage everybody to call us and work with us on the minor issues that can be really annoying, such as traffic, parking, things like that. That's our focus, is to just improve the quality of life for Gloucester. Okay.
Chief, is there anything else you want to mention?
I think you covered it, Rick, like you do every time.
Thank you, Chief. All right, that's Gloucester Police Chief Leonard Campanello with MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore.
This is MSONewsSports.com. We are joined by Mr. Baseball, Frank Carey. Remember I used to call you that,
yes,
Frank?
Yes, you did. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. It kind of caught on, I guess, with a few other people, too. But I'm far from it, so... Far from it.
Not at all. But longtime coach at North Reading High School. Can you summarize that career for me without sounding too boastful? Because I know that's not who you are. But tell me about the career at North Reading as a head baseball coach.
Yeah. Well, I think, disregarding the wins and the losses and the titles and all of that stuff, I think from my perspective, my biggest enjoyment has been some of the initiatives that I took on behalf of the state in baseball. For example, the All-Star Games, which we have the Eastern Mass All-Star Game. We have from the Eastern Mass, we got a Central and Western Mass All-Star Game. We have a Mass Connecticut All-Star Game. And then I'm now in the process of trying to get an All-New England All-Star Game, which hopefully will be hosted here in Lynn. So it's a lot of those initiatives, stuff I do with the State Coaches Clinic and all that really gives me a lot of enjoyment. Yeah.
And what are you doing right now in baseball at all? Anything at all? Touching the game at all? Keeping close?
Yeah, I'm actually currently on several state committees. I'm on the MIA State Tournament Committee. I'm also on a number of committees for our State Baseball Coaches Association. I'm still active with our clinic and all of that sort of thing. And I'm on several national committees. I'm on two national committees with the Baseball Coaches of America. So... That in itself, I have tasks, responsibilities that I have to do for them. I'll be going to St. Louis in December for the National Clinic, where we meet and, try to discuss issues on a national level. But more than that, it's just a great clinic for coaches.
I'm going to ask you two questions. No, it's not high school baseball. Yogi Berra, tell me about him. Why was he a great player?
Well, I mean, he was known for all of the inaccuracies he would say as a player, and that's how a lot of people today kind of remember him for that. But he was like all catchers on championship teams. He was the heart and soul of the New York Yankees, and obviously a very well respected player, colorful player. And the thing I can't pinpoint any particular classic game that he may have played in. Just it was a known fact that he was he's swinging bad pitches. He was a bad ball hitter, and he was a very good hitter. So, but 90 years old, he had a full life, and certainly, I'm sure if any of his teammates are still alive, they're gonna miss him.
Yeah, just looking at baseball standings, the Red Sox have found themselves now, as we speak, in last place. But yet, there seems to be a little excitement or buzz with some of the young players. Do I have that wrong? And what's your last question and take on the Red Sox?
You know, absolutely, Bill. I got to be honest, I haven't seen maybe two or three games all year, although I went to Camden Yards last week and saw two games down there, which was a heck of a lot cheaper than getting to see them in Boston. But you're absolutely right. The excitement about these young players, in particular, you know, Bogaerts is coming into his own. I've always liked Brock Holt as a gutsy type player. Swinehart's coming around. The outfield looks like it could be a terrific outfield of the future. And now with Henry Owens and some of these younger players, I agree. I'm looking forward to next year, really.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to share with us? What the things that are keeping you busy here now that you've retired?
Well, I have two granddaughters that are playing soccer currently right now for Lynn Claskell, a grandson that swims for Claskell on the swim team, and then I have another grandson that's quite a player, and he's playing over in Peabody right now. He's on the Higgins middle school team, and I spend a little time with the Higgins team coaching a little bit, you know.
Sounds good. Always good talking with you. Great to see you, Frank.
Yeah, my pleasure. Great to see you, too.
Frank Carey, longtime head baseball coach at North Reading High School on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, don't forget we've got football coming up on Friday, a couple of games on Friday, and then we have one game on Saturday. And don't forget we've got Josh Arnold's new program, Trending Now with Josh Arnold, on Friday. That'll be at 10 a.m., and Josh has a bunch of local candidates for office lined up for an interview. Bill?
Just the games on Friday. It's Revere and Classical. That's our video game, 7 o'clock. Beverly playing at Peabody. That should be a great high school football game on Friday night, the Beverly-Peabody game. Then Lynn English is traveling to Winthrop. They're coming off the tough loss last week. That's not on the radio, but those are some of the other games. Another game of real interest, I think, on the North Shore on Friday night will be Danvers at Marblehead, two teams doing very well to start the 2015 season. As you mentioned, on Saturday, Rick, Gloucester traveling to Swampscott. That's a live video game from Swampscott, so that'll be a lot of fun to see that. Swampscott with a double overtime win a week ago against Classical High School. And those are some of the games taking place on the North Shore this weekend. And St. John's Prep has big Everett coming in on Sunday at noontime over at St. John's Prep. Those are some of the high school football highlights coming up this weekend. And, of course, we'll keep you posted. We also have some posts up there of from Lynn Classical girls and boys soccer from Wednesday over at Manning Field, and Wednesday night, last night over at Manning Field. We got a bunch of interviews with coaches and so on, and I think one player. So we have that up on the website as well.
Wow, it's great, Bill. Tremendous amount of material up there that you did yesterday on Wednesday, and we have the latest stories. We get press releases from police departments and from the district attorney's office, so check out the website two or three times a day. They come in at all times of the day and evening, and when they come in, we post them.
You can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. We'd like to hear from you. And with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Thursday. Don't miss a rare opportunity to see Keith Lockhart up front and personal at the Lynn Auditorium. He'll be playing with five hand-selected pop musicians October 1st. This is a great chance to see Keith in an intimate setting where he'll sing, play, conduct, and talk about his life. Then enjoy a 30th anniversary screening of John Hughes' classic, The Breakfast Club, followed by a discussion and Q&A with 80s superstar icon and novelist Molly Ringwald. In addition, just 20 tickets left to the Super VIP After Party with Molly. For tickets, visit LynnAuditorium.com or call 781-599-SHOW.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
Since 1897, the Lynn Museum has celebrated the history of one of America's most consequential cities. Recently merged with Lynn Arts, we are working to build a dynamic cultural hub where our past comes to life and new art is created. Join us for the final month of our baseball exhibit, America's Favorite Pastime, A Lynn Perspective, open until Saturday, October 3rd. The Lynn Museum is located at 590 Washington Street and open Wednesday and Friday 12 to 4, Thursday 12 to 7, and Saturday 10 to 3. Find us online at lynnmuseum.com.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com.